maybe jump around a little bit. It's a pretty familiar passage, a pretty familiar Bible character in Samson. And, you know, we may not have to go back and read too much, Brother Eddie. That's a benefit of being in church where the Bible's promoted and Bible reading's promoted, is you don't have to lay down the framework when people's already read their Bible before they got to church. If y'all would like to stand to your feet, we're just going to read one verse, go to the Lord in prayer, and then get into what the Lord has for us. Judges, I wrote my notes, Samson chapter 16, I guess I should have wrote Judges. Judges chapter 16, verse 20. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep, and he said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. If y'all would, go with me, Lord, in prayer. God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, God, for another time, God, together in your house. Lord, we thank you, God, for the time we've had this evening, Lord, to worship you, Lord, and sing those songs and those spiritual hymns. And God, we thank you, God, for the ones that's come out tonight. Lord, we thank you for the service so far. But God, I'm asking you, Lord, that you'd be with the opening of your word. God, I'm asking you, Lord, that you'd instruct us out of it, God, Lord, and give us something, Lord. I'm asking you, God, that I could pass on to your church, Lord, what you've burdened my heart this week. God, we thank you, Lord, for the service this morning. But God, we're asking you, Lord, that you'd speak to us right now. Lord, please bless the business meeting, God, as we get done with here, Lord. God, and just keep everybody who's not able to be with us this evening because they're traveling, Lord, for the holiday. God, keep them safe. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.
Amen.
And there was two thoughts I've been studying all week on, and we know this morning was blind Bartimaeus, and this other one was Samson. And as I was going back and forth, I kind of was leapfrogging, and it kind of, Brother Don, was a little bit of a contrast to have the one message on my heart and then dealing with the other one at the same time. And you know, when you get two different circumstances, two different outcomes. And, you know, as we get to looking down in here, you know, I took the text verse and then I'm going to kind of go backwards and we're going to come back to it on the way of the closing. But, you know, we know that we are familiar with the story in verse 19. It says that she made him sleep upon her knees and she called for a man and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep, and he said, I'll go out as other times and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. And that was the one part that I couldn't get away from about the warning, Brother Eddie, tonight, about Samson jumping up and just going out, Brother Kenny, just like all the other times he had in the past. But he didn't understand that the Lord had departed. And the thought that the Lord had burdened me with and the instruction time for this evening comes from putting ourselves again. It's going to be a familiar part. When you read the Bible, you ought to be able to put yourself inside of it. As we spoke on this morning, and we each and every one of us can probably think of a time to where we were just kind of going through the motions and living our Christian life, and we were trying to live on yesterday's blessings, and then all of a sudden the new temptation came or the new challenge arose. Brother Don, we think we're just going to jump up like every other time that we would before and run out in there and not even realize that the Lord had already departed from us. And I'm going to try to take this as a warning this evening. I forgot my hanky tonight. I'm going to try to steal one of these things. And, you know, if I start getting code words from Tina over here to wipe stuff. So, you know, but I started to think about, you know, hey, you know, how could we learn from Samson? And as I started to get in and study Samson and starting to look at him, I'm going to flip back. But again, I don't think I'm just going to peruse through here because for most of us, we're more than acquainted with him. But I started to think, number one, is who is Samson? Who was he? Why does he, what Brother Don, why is he inside of this word? You know, started to do a little study, and it's a real quick background on him. Is first thing I saw here as we started reading in chapter 13, and so the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, and whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. As we look at Samson, even from the very beginning of him, hey, we know that his birth was foretold and proclaimed by the angel of the Lord. This is somebody, as we see the end of his life, and we maybe focus on the failures of Samson more than we focus upon anything. And I saw as I was studying, it almost makes me have a more earnest heed to who Samson was, because there was no angel of the Lord appearing unto my mom and letting her know that I would be born. Brother Kenny, I don't know that anybody in this church who's a member on these papers can say that the angel of the Lord came down and warned their mom that they would have a special child and that a deliverer would be born out of them. I think we forget when we deal with the life and the times of Samson that we're not just talking about Joe Blow Israelite. We're not just talking about somebody who just walked into this. Hey, this was a guy who had a special birth. Hey, being proclaimed, and not only did we see that his birth was proclaimed, we also see that the angel of the Lord gave specific instructions unto his mom and his dad on how he was to be raised. Why, Logan? Because there was something special in his life. He was made for something a little more maybe than the average Israelite was going to be born into at this time. And we see here the second thing about him, hey, was his parents were a good God-fearing people. God had used several different judges, and some of them, one of them was a bastard child, and hey, his name was the name of the city, because they didn't even know who his dad was. Some of the judges, their dads were worshipers of Baal, and God called them out of it. But we see Samson wasn't that case. Samson's mom and dad were God-fearing people. Hey, they knew who he was. Manoah entreated the Lord, and he sought for a second visit once he found out that his wife had came in and said, I talked to this man, and he said, hey, Lord, I need to know who he is. Would you please send him back to us? And as we read in chapter 13, if you want to go home and study some more on him, that's where you'll find this stuff. Hey, but the Bible tells us that Samson's father even offered up a burnt offering after the second visit. Hey, when he got the angel of the Lord's appearance, hey, these were godly people. They served the Lord, and they wanted to serve the Lord. He wasn't raised up in the world. He was raised up in church. He knew to fear the Lord. How do I know that? Hey, because his dad, as soon as the meeting was over, he looked and he said, we shall surely die because we stood in the presence of the Lord. Hey, but I know he had a God-fearing mama too. Hey, but she had some wisdom about her. Hey, because she looked at her dad, at her husband, and said, if the Lord was pleased to kill us, he wouldn't have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands, and neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as this time have told us such things as these. So when we look at Samson, we understand that his mom and dad loved the Lord and they feared him. Third thing we know about Samson is he was a Nazarite. I'll just give you guys a little bit of history and insight on this Nazarite vow. If you want to get into the full-blown portion of it, go to Numbers chapter 6. Hey, and that'll let you know what exactly the Nazarite vow had a part of. But the first thing, it was usually a voluntary vow that was made unto the Lord. Second thing I found out was any Israelite, a man or a woman, could make this very same vow. This vow was a vow of total consecration and separation, a denial of self, and that proclaiming that your life was given to service of the Lord. This vow was also sometimes viewed as a vow of reproach, and because the men could not cut their hair. We know that the Bible tells us that it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Hey, nothing's changed on that. It's still a shame for a man to have a long hair. Hey, is that my personal opinion? No, it's not. Where does it come from? From the Word of God. Hey, this vow also was a sign of total commitment unto God. And we also, when we do a little bit of research into the Nazarite vow, hey, Samson and Samuel and John the Baptist were three of the most notable Nazarites that were inside of the scripture. When we talk about Samuel and we talk about John the Baptist, Samson was in pretty good company. The last thing, and one of the most obvious things, him being in the book of Judges, is he was born to deliver Israel out of their oppression, and he was listed as a judge, and he ran over them for 20 years. He judged inside of Israel. So as we opened up with our verses about Samson's downfall and jumping up, hey, we need to realize that when we start to get in and we start to look at these downfalls from Samson, that we're not just talking about Brother Paul, just a passerby in the scriptures. If we look around, and sometimes we can look at God's men and their scriptures, Brother Josh, and we can understand if this guy who had a specific calling on top of his life, and he had parents that were preparing him for this life, and he had a job to do, if this guy can find himself in that situation, I think every single person inside of this room tonight could also find themselves in that very shape. If all of a sudden we find out that Samson was called to be a judge and a deliverer, hey, we're also called to be a judge and a deliverer. How do I know? Because the Lord said, hey, know ye not that you will judge the angels? Say, do you really know what all that means? Nope, I don't really know what all that means, but I know the Lord said it and I believe it, and that's about the end of it right there. Hey, I know we're supposed to live a life that's separated and consecrated unto the Lord. Hey, we're supposed to come out from among them, be separate and touch not the unclean thing, just like Samson had a call on his life. And when we start seeing how Samson fell, hey, maybe that can help keep us from falling. As I started to read his life and get in, the Lord kind of just put a spotlight on a few things, and I'd just like to share them with you, and hopefully I will strengthen you and encourage you and maybe give you a warning and a heed and maybe a little bit of advice on how to stay out of trouble. Hey, and then we'll wrap it up and say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. But the first thing I noticed here on looking at Samson's life and seeing the warning signs that he had was, see, there were warning signs that led up to his fall. And we can see warning signs come up in our life. There's warning signs that start to pop up. And when we see them coming up, hey, we can make the right adjustments and get back in. You know, football season started up. Hey, you get out there in that first half. You know, I was talking to Alexis about soccer. Hey, I guess they got a halftime, so I guess it's probably the same thing. Hey, if you get out there and you're getting kicked around and you're losing in the first half, what should you do? Make you some adjustments and make you some changes and get out there so you don't get beat the second half. Hey, when we see that, that's how our Christian life is. Hey, sometimes we'll realize that we're losing and we need to make the adjustments, and sometimes watching somebody else lose will help us not to. First warning sign that I see in Samson's life as a beacon is, number one, is that Samson was earthly minded and not heavenly. It doesn't matter what point of Samson's life that you get in and you study him, he always had his eye on something else that wasn't on the Lord. I think that's a warning sign to every single one of us. One of the first obvious downfalls that Samson had was he lusted after women. I know there's been many different women who have wrecked their lives lusting after men, and many different men have wrecked their lives lusting after women. I know in this modern age, we can't turn on the TV, can't listen to secular radio, we can't watch a movie, Brandon, hey, without sex, drugs, and rock and roll being put inside of our face. Hey, we go to school where they try to encourage us, hey, that if we don't know who we're going to marry, hey, by the time that we're 12, hey, we're going to be left behind. Hey, when this sex is just fueled inside of all of our advertising and everything that we watch, hey, there's something trying to get our eye. Hey, we better beware this evening, and we better look at a man inside of the Bible who was raised by good godly people. Hey, and he thought he could play with it, and he couldn't. He lusted after these women. In 14 and 1 and 3, hey, the Bible says here that was Samson went down to Timnath, and he saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. This was a child of God. This was a Jew. This was a descendant of Abraham. Hey, this was an Israelite. Had no business messing with the Philistine. Hey, I want to warn you, our people, Hunter, hey, we need to keep our eyes on God, and we need to keep ourselves in church. Hunter, if you go out there and you get your girlfriend who ain't in church, you'd be surprised where she'll take you. What do you do? Keep your eyes on the Lord. Say, hey, should you tell that to a young man? Yes, yes, Dad, you're right. You should tell that to a young man. Hey, guess what? How Samson's mom and dad tried to tell him. Hey, and that's a warning sign for us this evening. Mom and dads, if we're not telling our kids, hey, imagine a mom and dad that did tell him and he still made the mistake. How much more could he erect himself if mom and dad wasn't telling them? kind of seems like we're asleep at the wheel sometimes in the mom and dad department, and I'll say the grandma and grandpa department. Why? Because my grandma and grandpa had a huge part in my life, warning me, just like my parents did, Brother Eddie, hey, about finding the right one. And he went out here, and in verse 3 he says, and his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people, hey, that thou goest to take a wife of this uncircumcised Philistine? And Samson said unto his father, hey, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. We better watch out, because our heart can let us down. Hey, we think that we can trust ourselves, and we'll find out that we can't. Hey, Samson couldn't trust his heart. Hey, the only saving grace on him was the Lord told his mom and dad, hey, calm down. Hey, we're going to be using this for my glory. Second woman we find out, and we don't like preaching about this, or we don't like mentioning it, but we have to because it's the Word of God. But in chapter 16, in verses 1 and 3, we find out as 16 starts out, and then went Samson to Gaza, and he saw there a harlot, and he went into her. Hey, this is a man that should have been worried about judging Israel, and he should have been worried about doing what God called him to do, but he was so worried about what the ladies were doing and so worried about living that high-stakes lifestyle, hey, that he let this the lifestyle get a hold of him. Bible says here that as he got going, that he, in verse 3, Samson lay till midnight, and he rose at midnight, and he took the doors of the gate off the city and the two posts, and he went away with them with the bar and all, and he put them upon his shoulders, and he carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. Got in, I asked Google a question. I said, how far is Gaza from Hebron? Hey, that answer was 48 miles. Hey, what did he do? He got himself in a mess, and he took off running, and he run him a good long ways trying to get away from the mess he'd got himself into. Don't have to read Proverbs very long to say, hey, young man, keep your eyes on the Lord and away from the strange women. Goes the same thing for our young ladies. Keep your eyes on the Lord and not every little boy, hey, that swishes in down the hallway. Hey, these boys are going to tell you some things. They're going to let you know, Alexis, hey, they're going to let you know how pretty you are. Hey, you get to college, and just because, you know, you get into Christian college, trust me, a lot of them young boys are going to try to get married in college. Hey, and just because they was raised in mom and dad's house and in church, hey, that don't mean that their mind gets twisted and sideways. Hey, what do we got to do? Don't do like Samson and keep our eyes on the world. Hey, we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. Last woman we know that he lusted after is Delilah, and in 6 verse 4, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. I've read these verses over and over again, and it says here that Samson loved her, but it sure don't say nothing about her loving him. Hey, you can fall head over heels in love, hey, with the prettiest thing in school, Brittany. You can fall in love with whatever you want to, hey, but that doesn't mean that love is going to be returned. What are you supposed to do? Seek God's faith and pray and ask him to give you the half that you're supposed to have. Hey, wait on the Lord. Hey, the Bible says when that husband and that mother, his wife will leave their mom and dad and come together, become one flesh. That's Bible. That's order, not this junk that we're being sold today. Second thing I see here about Samson being earthly minded and not heavenly minded was, we all know that at his wedding feast, he pronounced the riddle, and he had the lion, and the honey was growing outside of the lion, and he proposed it, and we know that the Philistines pressed hard upon his wife. But I started to think a little bit about what he was wanting in return for this riddle. See, he thought that he had the answer, and he thought that this was just a free trip. And he said, each one of you guys, there's 30 of you I'm making a bet with. Brother Josh, the payoff, hey, was I want 30 pieces of clothes. But he was in a Philistine village. This was on the border of the Philistine territory in Israel, but these were the Philistines that had control of this city. And he said, once I win, because he knew it was a slam dunk, he wanted 30 changes of clothes to look just like the world. When he won, hey, what does a child of God need with 30 changes of Philistine clothes? Don't need anything. Hey, I know you can get down there like Achan. Hey, you get yourself in trouble by lusting after that Babylonian garment and want to look like the world. Hey, but I want to encourage you, church, tonight. Hey, we are to want to look like God's people. I'm not trying to preach anything crazy. I'm just saying, if I was standing here in a pink mohawk with a Pink Floyd t-shirt on and some cut-off jeans and some army boots up to my knees, you all wouldn't sit here and listen to me. Hey, why? Because my dress would give me away that I'm not a child of God. Say, that's judging. Hey, judge not lest you be judged, but with that same manner, hey, that you judge is going to be put back on you. That's all that verse says. Hey, church, we need to understand that Samson thought he could play games with the world, and he was trying to come to them on their level. Hey, I want to warn you, child of God, tonight, you're never going to win a contest with the devil. Hey, the Bible says you better take on, hey, Ephesians chapter 6, you better put on that armor of God. Hey, why you need that shield? Hey, because there's the wiles of the devil that's coming at you. Hey, what's going to happen? Hey, the world will plow with your heifer just as the context of here. That's what Samson said when the riddle was exposed. He said, if you wouldn't have come over here and pressed upon my wife, hey, guess what? The world ain't gonna play fair. And we've got our mind that we want to be part of them. Hey, they don't let us play by their rules. Young kids, we may go to school and get on our eyes on the popular crowd, and we may say we want to walk that hallway. Hey, we want to hang out with the mean girls. Hey, we want to be that up crowd and dress just like them. Hey, you better watch out. Hey, because it's impossible for a child of God to blend in with the world and not have something happen to you. Samson thought he could handle it, Brother Josh, and he couldn't handle it. There's a few Bible verses, if I just kind of slow down here just for a second and get to, hey, just to encourage us about not wanting to be worldly minded, but in 1 John in chapter 2, verse 15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but is of the world. And as we read verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, these are all symptoms that Samson had as he was growing up. He didn't know at this point in his life that these very sins would leave him destitute and broke down and leave him with no power. He thought he could handle it. Why? Because he still had his eyes on the world. Church, we've gotten to the point today where we think that we can just sit here and we can have one foot in the church house and one foot in the world. Hey, and we can talk like them and dress like them, and we can still think that the Lord's going to bless us. And we're going to get to another point here in a second, not to get ahead of myself. But young people, if you think you can ride with the world and you can ride with the church, you'll be just like Samson. You'll wake up and you'll go out. Brandon, if you get too comfortable, you get too far back into the world and the things you come away for, hey, the problem is, hey, that challenge will come and you'll get up just like our text verse and you'll go out just like you did before, not knowing that the Lord had already left you. Bible tells us in Colossians 3, verse 2, to set our affections on the things that are below, that are on above, not on the things on the earth. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, Jesus says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. I'm wondering if Samson would actually have realized where his treasures were set upon, where his affections were placed into. I wonder if he could have did a gut check and realized at one point, wait a second, I don't desire the things I should have been. Maybe he could have made the adjustment. Maybe he could have straightened it up. And instead of knowing as the man who killed more people in his death than his life, he could have been known as one of the greatest deliverers of Israel. One point that I thought was interesting was at no point in the New Testament is Samson directly mentioned. There's a lot of the judges that are mentioned, and there are a lot of the heroes. He was stronger than all of them, but he allowed himself to get his eyes off the Lord, put his affections on the world, and it cost him everything that he had. Second thing I see about Samson, and as a way to warn us, was he was prideful. just read about that pride getting up inside of you. It happens to each and every one of us at points in our life, especially when we think we've got this Christian thing figured out, especially when we think that we're walking good, especially think when we know, hey, this is it. I've said before that sometimes I kind of feel sorry for the Pharisees. Because could you imagine being a Pharisee in Jesus' time? And you've done everything you could. You've got the Ten Commandments tied to your forehead and on your arm. You try to live and walk every jot and every little tittle. You've done your whole life. You've changed your dress and the way you live. And all of a sudden, here comes the Messiah. And instead of you and they thought they were going to get a big hug. They thought they were going to get a ring, Brother Don. They thought they was going to be the ones in the inner circle. And what did they get preached on? Why is that? Because this pride wells in. It'll destroy every time. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19, and these are very familiar, that these six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. What does abomination mean? Extreme hatred. As if the hatred of God isn't enough, one step above that is abomination. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and run into mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. We have to be careful because these sins nip at every single one of our heels. Hey, as Christians, just because we get saved, this flesh doesn't get saved. We have to war, as Paul says, and battle our flesh to put it in subjection. Why? Because these sins want to grab a hold of us. If we look at Samson, a man with all the accolades that we started the introduction out with, if he could fall by it, every single one of us can be susceptible to. A couple different things I looked in his life about. I saw five different avenues where the pride got up on him. And I'm wondering if these same five things aren't things that common things that we could fall with too. Is number one I saw when I looked at Samson was he was too proud for a Hebrew girl because he wanted a fast one. Yeah. Brother Kenny, it's something that we got to warn our boys about. Hey, because when we tell our young men to look for a godly young lady, hey, you need someone who can be with you, stand side by side. Hey, these girls out here dressed like the devil, they're not going to be there. I can't tell you how many guys at work I know that's asked the boss, can I leave 2 hours early? Hey, I think my girlfriend's cheating on me. Hey, can I leave 2 hours early? Hey, they don't want the good godly girl. Hey, why? Because she's no fun. Oh, she doesn't look like the world. She doesn't smell like the world and act like the world. So what do? They don't want that one. What is that? That's pride that wells up in the heart of a young man that says, I got to have me a trophy piece. Well, let me tell you, old Solomon said, you'd be better off living up in the corner of the house, hey, than to live in a big white house with a brawling woman. Hey, if you look around, young ladies, same thing goes for you as these men say, we don't want us a good working man. Hey, we don't want us a good home person. Hey, we got to have that boy in the skinny jeans with the slick back hair. Now, that's not talking about Hunter's hair because Hunter has the best hair inside this place. He's got the exemptions on this. Hey, but we want the ones in the skinny jeans. Hey, we want the ones who's got the stylish cut, right? Hey, we want that one. Hey, but there's no substance in him. There's nothing to him. But hey, we want to worry about what does he look like on my arm? What's my wedding photo going to look like? What's my prom picture going to look like? Because I can't go there with that one that's actually going to love me and actually going to raise my kids. Hey, we're not going to go with the one who set his affections on the Lord. Hey, but Samson found himself in that trouble. Second thing I saw was he was too proud to listen to his parents. He wouldn't listen to them. Hey, that was the old style. Man, that's that old way. You know, Sister Sally, come on. You were in Little Miami in the 90s. Well, so was I, so I can get away with saying that. You know, say, hey, you were in Little Miami High School in the 90s, Brother Kenny. Hey, that what worked in 1995, that don't work today. Man, I can't listen to you. You don't have anything that can help me. You don't understand what 2019 looks like. Hey, young people, we better understand there was a time where I thought I knew more than my parents did. There was a time where I thought I had everything under control. But you know what? It's funny. Hey, the older that I get, the smarter they were. I don't know when that happened. Hey, but Brother Josh, the older I get, I look back and I realize maybe my mom and dad wasn't so stupid after all. Hey, but we better heed this message and listen now. Why? Because it may keep us into running into a pit later. Third thing I saw on him was he was too prideful even in his failures. There were times where God could have humbled him. Brother Josh, times where his failures should have learned him a lesson. Hey, but he still didn't care. In chapter 14, 19, and 20, we find out that when he gave the riddle about the honey and the lion, hey, he got mad and he went out and he killed 30 men. And he took those garments and he brought them back and he paid his debt. Now, he was at his own wedding feast. So you would think he would have just took his wife that he just married and then go home with her, but he was too prideful, hey, that he just went home without her. I've never heard of anybody go on their wedding day feast and then get mad and go home and pout and leave your wife sitting at home. Samson did. Why? Because the pride ate up in him, because he wouldn't go back there and he would have to eat all that crow because he thought he had a better plan. He thought he was smarter than they was. And when they found out they was willing to go places that he wasn't, he couldn't show his face. Another area in his failure, we can see in chapter 15 and verse 4. Hey, when he found out that his wife was given away in marriage, he went out and he says he caught 300 fox. And he tied their tails together two by two and he set it on fire in the middle and he went and he burned their barley fields down and their corn fields down. But that backfired on him too, because when the Philistines find out he was the one that did it, they went and killed his wife and her dad in the house. Why? Because he was prideful and he acted childish, Brother Don, in the way that he retaliated against the situation when he should have just took his loss and went home. Chapter 16 and 1 and 3, we mentioned about when he was with the harlot. And then all of a sudden, he couldn't have just left. He couldn't have just been shamed and realized I shouldn't have been messing with this person. He had to make him a grand exit. It wasn't enough for him to just leave. He had to tear the door and the bar and the side post and then run them 48 miles to get them up on top of a hill just to show that he could. Why did that let me know, Brother Don, that the pride had welled up inside of his heart and it was getting at him? He wasn't going to sit there, Brother Eddie, and just take his loss and repent and go on. He tried to do something big just to cover it up. I can almost imagine, and I'm not adding to scripture, but I'd imagine he had a pretty good story to go along with that too, because I don't see Samson at the time that just went back and sat down and was humble. I'd imagine he told a pretty good story about it as he was running away. Fourth area in his life where it looked like he was too prideful, he was too prideful to see that his power came from God and not from him. There are times in our Christian's walk where we tell our kids to read the Bible. We tell them to get up in there and pray, Brother Josh, and seek God's face and live that godly life. And there are blessings that come with living inside of that lifestyle. But sometimes we think that that blessing is because of what we do. Sometimes we think, hey, I'm the best in the Sunday school class. I'm the one going to come with the answer. I'm the smartest one in the family. I'm the one that's got it all. I'm the one. And then we don't realize, hey, that every good and precious gift comes down from the Father above. And we forget and we think it's us, because that's what happened to Samson. He thought that he was the one. Brittany, he thought he was the reason that he had his power. Sometimes being a child of God, we get blessings and people will respect us in reverence. That's how a child of God should be treated. Hey, to know we may not sit with them in the lunchroom, hey, but it comes down to getting some good godly advice. We ought to be able to know they can go to a Christian. Hey, but when all of a sudden we start thinking, Melissa, that they're coming to talk to me because I'm so wise, and we don't understand that they're coming because we have godly wisdom and we think it's us, well, better watch out, because we might end up like Samson. The last thing about him being prideful that stuck out here was he was too prideful to recognize the danger that he was in. He got a hold of Delilah. He'd been living a reckless lifestyle. He'd already been running with prostitutes. This is the one he got caught in, I believe. In my heart, I believe, Brother Josh, we know about the one in Gaza because when he ripped the door off, everybody knew to tell the story. But I guarantee that wasn't his first trip down there. I'll guarantee that wasn't the first time. And you know what he thought? I got away with it. I can do it. I got away with number two. Brother Kenny, nobody caught me on number three. I must be pretty slick. I must be pretty slick because Sister Debbie ain't nobody catching this sin that I'm bound up in. It'd be easier for all of us to just kind of sit back and say, well, Brother Eddie's nodding his head, so maybe the deacon's the only one in there. But Brother Eddie, I think every single one of us have been to this spot in our life where we got away with pet number sin once and twice and three times and four times and God hadn't cut our head off. And guess what? Then we got to the one we couldn't get over. But he was prideful and he thought, I can play with Delilah. I can sit there. She starts asking questions about where does your power come from? She wasn't asking about the Lord. She wasn't asking about the power of Jehovah. She wasn't trying to get converted. Hey, well, all of a sudden, that's another warning sign there, young people. Hey, you better watch out when these boys and these girls, hey, they want to try to see, hey, how far they can take you. Hey, you know what? Satan's got a trophy case of all them good church girls, hey, that them young boys ripped out of the front row and sent to the back. Satan's got a trophy case of all them good church boys that was raised just like Hunter is in the front row of a Baptist church, and the Lord sent some harlot along, and Satan's got them in the trophy case in the back. What happens? You think you can play with it. Samson did. He couldn't. Third point on Samson's life, as I'm winding to a close here, is led right into it that he thought he could play around with that sin. First thing was, God hadn't brought judgment on me yet, right? We all get to that spot. God ain't brought the judgment down yet. Brother Josh, I've been getting off on it. 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come into repentance. And that goes for the lost as much as the saved, Sister Becky. He's long-suffering to the lost man that he would come into salvation, but he's also long-suffering with his children, hoping that they'll get it right. He said he's not slack as some men count slackness, Brandon. What that means is, hey, if you do me wrong and I go ahead and get on you pretty fast, and then all of a sudden God doesn't come on you pretty fast, we start thinking, oh man, he's really not paying attention. That's what happened with Samson. Second thing about him playing around with sin was, I'd imagine he started saying, you know what? I'm the chosen one, right? I'm the judge. I'm the one that the angel of the Lord proclaimed. I'm the one that God set up to deliver. I've been doing all this sin. I haven't been judged yet. This must just be some of that providential inheritance that I'm getting down before I die. Bible tells us in Romans chapter 2 verse 11 that there's no respect of persons with God. We can think sometimes when we get out into sin, well, you know what? Surely God's not going to bring this on me, Brother Kenny. Don't he know everything I did for him yesterday? Doesn't he know about the Sunday school class and the vacation Bible school? Doesn't he know that time that I gave that poor man money and nobody saw me? And sometimes we think that we can pay ahead blessings and we can serve God in exchange for sin at a later point. I said, James, man, can you believe that that's got in my head before? Why? When we start getting into little pet sins, whether it be laziness or other sin, and we think, well, shoot, Don, Lord knows I've done more good than bad. You know, hey, I think I'm still, guess what? That got Samson in trouble. I wonder if he was thinking, thirdly, man, I can just hang around it, right? Like, I don't have to actually engage in the activity, but I can just hang around it. You know, we actually don't know what the relationship between Samson and Delilah was. We know that he went in and laid with a harlot, but we don't understand the relationship here. If you get in and you study and you get in to different historians' points of views, there's all kinds of points of view. Some people say they were married. Some people say that there was definitely a relationship going on. Some people say that it was just a verbal relationship and it was almost like a courting that was going on. We really don't understand and we don't know. But Michelle, when we look here, I'm wondering if he thought to himself, I can just hang around Delilah. I don't have to actually do anything bad. I'm going to get as close to sin as I can to just be on the line. That's never going to work. We can't play with sin. We know the old adage about it taking you farther than you want to go and keeping you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you more, Lily, than you'll ever be willing to pay. Brandon, we've heard these. We've heard these our whole lives. But guess what? Samson had heard it his whole life too. And he thought he could play around with it. In Judges chapter 16, verse 16 says, she pressed him daily with her words. She tried to wear him down. What's going to happen? Hey, they're going to press upon you. Hey, when you go to fail, it's going to be constantly like, hey, Brother Don, hey, do you really got to go to church tonight? Man, hey, you know the Bengals are going to be playing. Man, I got these tickets right here. Man, it's just, do you got to teach every Sunday school? Do you got to be there every time the doors are open? Sister Debbie, do you seriously have to be there? Do you seriously have to just go? Or kid, think you maybe you could just miss one time? I don't think the church would fall apart if you miss one time. Hey, that's how it starts. That's how it wears, and the progression goes, and it wears you down to the point where you're in trouble. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, there is no temptation taken to you, but such is common to man. But if God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may not be able to bear it. Every time we're put with something, we choose to sin. There's always a back door. There's always a get up and walk away period. But we forget that sinning is sinning against God. We forget because we mentalize it, and we've got it justified in our head, Brother Eddie, and it's just a little sin, and it's not going to cost us. But then we see, when we come back to our text verse, that it did cost him. Because he says, I'll go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Then the Bible goes on to tell us in 21, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. That word grind, they treated him like a work animal, Brother Josh. They had him down there grinding in the prison house. They had him doing prison labor. He was supposed to be a judge in Israel. He was supposed to be ruling God's people. He was supposed to be delivering them. The Lord says, I looked out to make a hedge and someone to take up and stand in the gap for my people, but I found none. Why? Because some of us are bound by sin, grinding in the prison house. Then it says in verse 22, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. I thank God that even when we do fail him, hey, that we can find forgiveness. Sometimes the sin is big. Sometimes the sin is little. And there is different payment for different sins. Some sins are sins unto death. Some sins are just going to take a good whooping. Some sins the Lord is going to have to talk to us and restore us. Hey, but his hair started to grow back. And as it did, we find out here in verse 25, and it came to pass when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. This term, making him sport, young people, is he was like a joke. He was a laughter. They were mocking him. They brought him out to say, look at this guy. That's what happens to every one of us when we fail in front of the world. When we go out there and we think we can play with them and we think we can be a part of them, and they know we don't belong and we know that we don't belong, and then all of a sudden our sins pile up on us and we failed all the way out, and then we're just a joke. And they're breaking him out and they're laughing at him. And Samson said unto the lad, hey, that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon this house standeth, that I may lean upon him. And skip down to 28. And Samson called unto the Lord, and he said, O Lord God, remember me. I pray thee and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And we see here that Samson grabbed a hold of the pillars, and he was able to tear the house down, and all the lords that were in there to enjoy the feast and the celebration of God's man being destroyed, they all were killed with him in his death. But I've got a question for us. Who wants to go out like Samson? God will tell us that the hair will grow again. God will tell us, I'll let you be used one more time. But why would we choose to be? When we can look at the judges and see men that God used to keep bringing the victories. I've got to tell this church, we've got to choose. Do we want to have a Samson Christianity, or do we want to have a successful Christianity? Do we want to have a Samson Christian life, or do we want to have a prosperous Christian life? Because how we choose to live it is going to dictate what we've got. If we choose to just keep one foot in the world and one foot in the church, and we refuse to separate, we can't look back one day when we're begging God to just use us one more time, when God said, I wanted to use you every time. Alexis, why would we allow ourselves in the world to get us to a point where we would beg God, can I just be one more witness? Or do we want to choose in purpose inside of our heart that we're not going to defile ourselves and say, I want God to use me every time, not just this last time? So Paul, if you want to come on up, we're going to offer the altar call. We're going to close at this.